registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Sharon County has seen and will continue to see a great deal of growth for years to come. Now is the time to set policy that will help manage that growth while preserving our agricultural lands and natural beauty that makes our county such a special place to live and raise a family. I'm Jim Schellinger, candidate for Sheridan County Commissioner, asking for your vote on August 18th to put my common sense approach and proven leadership to work for you. Paid for by Jim Schellinger.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Why pack for vacation when your Y-Ocation is waiting right here in Sheridan County? Sheridan Travel and Tourism presents the Y-Ocation Staycation Sweepstakes. Explore the breathtaking Bighorn Mountains with an experienced guide. Relax in a cozy cabin at Spiro Wigwam. Enjoy horseback riding. Then head back to town for a movie, cool off at Kendrick Park Pool, and top it all off with an ice cream from Scoops. It's the perfect Sheridan County getaway. See the prizes and enter to win on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, July 20th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation Director of Philanthropy, Liz Dearcorn, and Director of Behavioral Health, Brittany Godvin.
Goodvin.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Well, Liz, how was your rodeo week? Did you guys stick around?
Yes, we did. You know, my family are diehards. We like to partake. So we went to the rodeo a couple nights, and my kids are old enough to enjoy all the ongoings that normally aren't available around, you know, Sheridan. So the concerts and whatnot. So it was fun. It's always fun to see the town bustling and just, you know, the businesses really enjoying that. So yeah, it's a fun time of year.
What's your favorite rodeo event?
Gosh, I know it's changed over the years. I've been here for so long, but I mean, the Indian Relay are always exciting. Oh, yeah. However, with my age, I feel like, and the accidents and the whatnot, I don't like to watch that anymore. So I don't know. I like the women's breakaway roping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bull riding is always exciting, though, too.
Man, they are so fast.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind how fast some of those young ladies can actually be out of that chute. Yeah. Brittany, what about you?
Sure. We have notoriously gone every year as a family. We really enjoy it. Our nephews are bull riders, and in the last few years have been really successful and have made it and earned a spot in the Wire Rodeo. And so we go as a family every year to watch them, and it's definitely a special week for us. We get to have our nephews at the house and then their travel partners. So we're feeding and housing a shop full of bull riders, and we really enjoy that. They're great role models for our boys, they think that's pretty fantastic, and go behind the chutes and get hats signed. And so it is a really, it is something that we stick around for and make sure that we can be a part of. And it's a important family event for us.
And how cool is that? Mm-hmm. You know, a little kid, you wake up there. Oh, by the way, there's a couple bull riders in the living room.
Yeah. Yeah. They pulled their travel van right in, and they're asleep.
That is so fun. That is so great. All right. Sheridan Memorial Hospital recently celebrated the new Behavioral Health Center with an open house. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Liz?
Yes, you bet. this open house happened, gosh, the end of June. It feels just like the other day, and it was such a special event. We had invited, the entire community, donors, just advocates for the project and the campaign. And it truly was, just an entirely special event to see the community so excited about this new Behavioral Health Center and all that it's going to provide for our community. So it was just, it was wonderful to see everybody there and excited and to see the space, firsthand. I mean, we've been talking about it for a little over 3 years now. I mean, that I've been involved in and, with just the campaign and the project and the planning and, I feel like the team nailed it. Brittany and her team. I mean, it's spectacular. So it was really wonderful to get everybody's feedback, get them in to see it and understand that this is here to take care of our community.
Brittany, as the director, how did it feel having everybody come through those doors, you know, kind of officially for the first time? I mean, it's an open house. They're not patients. They're wanting to look around. But how did that feel?
Yeah, that's really a great question. I actually had a moment after, there was the Cody spoke and Mike spoke and, you know, kind of introducing and then, having this moment where I got to step aside and watch a line of community members and just start walking in single file into the unit to get the look and the feel and a better understanding of what we were doing. And I did have it really was meaningful for us as a team to be able to recognize this is why we're here. Yeah. These are our neighbors. These are our family members. These are people we care about. And we're excited to be here to be able to serve these people who are here. And that really, the partnership with the community on this project just feels really unique. I know that Liz will get into some of the donors and some of the benefits around the and all of the hard work the foundation put in to make this happen. But that community partnership with donors and knowing that such a big commitment of support, both financially and otherwise, came locally, really does emphasize our team's purpose and mission that we're here to serve them. And we're really blessed for that opportunity and grateful that this partnership with the community made that happen.
It's an odd perspective. That maybe a lot of people don't get to feel, but you've put all this work into the place. Liz said, 3 years to get here. And finally that door opens, and there's a little elf in the back of your head that still says, okay, now the work begins.
Sure.
Like the real work starts today. There's got to be, excitement and maybe even some nerves.
Yeah, some healthy pressure for sure.
Healthy pressure. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Healthy pressure.
Yes. I think in terms of just I would say in terms of the buildup, I've been at the hospital for 13 years and the need for mental health care in a facility like this has been a part of that discussion for the length that I've been at the hospital. And I know for Mike and the rest of the leadership team, it started far before that.
Yeah.
And so really, my role began in October of 23 in this director role. However, I think in terms of the foundation and foundational work to be able to keep this on the horizon and as part of the vision, our senior leadership team and the board have really been great visionaries and relentless in making sure that we were able to provide this care locally. And so I think that work really started long before I was in this position for sure.
13 years at the hospital.
Yes.
3 in this position, give or take.
Sure.
What were you doing before?
I've been really, really fortunate to have had some opportunities of growth at the hospital, which I think is something that is really a pillar of what we do as part of the hospital mission and vision is development of our employees and our staff. And I started out as a case manager discharge planner and was working primarily with our med-surg medical staff and nursing staff to make sure patients had a safe discharge plan. And then from there moved into quality department and our process improvement department and then into this role.
Did they come to you or did you go to them? When this job came open, were you like, you know what, I'm going to go for it? Or did they come to you and say, I already got the perfect person for this?
I would say our leadership team is good at identifying where people have individual strengths and where they might have an opportunity. And so it was certainly something that was suggested that I evaluate. And
nudge.
Yeah, sure. And then having the opportunity to really look at where my professional opportunities had been and growth opportunities even before the hospital. I just felt like a very unique pathway that led me to this and much more of a calling. it's nerve wracking and
healthy pressure.
You gotta go, kind of a do it afraid mentality, but knowing that there was so much support and other knowledge base to be able to pull from, and just feeling like this was where I was supposed to be.
Yeah. And I think it's fantastic to take someone into a leadership role that you know so well. 13 mm-hmm. years at the same location. Sure. And by the time you took this, 10, I guess.
Sure.
Watching you come up and seeing you progress through your career, and you're like, you know what? I know how she works. I know the direction she's probably going to go, and I can depend on her. Sure. So absolutely, I would understand that move.
Sure. I can't speak for, you know, how that came about, but I sure am grateful mostly for a lot of the mentorship that I've been very blessed to have received at the hospital. And so grateful for that.
Why'd you get in this line of work in the first place?
For behavioral health or healthcare in general? In terms of, you know, my, you know, personal and family experiences where I've seen addiction and mental health have an impact, and not just, you know, in one individual, but really the ripple effect. And ultimately, as a mom and having been blessed with a really, you know, big extended family, I have a passion for healthy families and healthy parents. One of the big ways that we accomplish that is being able to ensure that we have good access to mental health care and addiction.
When it comes to the stigma of mental health in the state of Wyoming, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So I like how you say, hey, I've seen the effects of this, not only the effects on the individual, but the ripple. Mm-hmm. I've seen the stone go in the pond and watch the whole pond react.
Sure.
And if you really think about it, mm-hmm. I'll bet everybody out there has at least once. And I guess I could understand the stigma, but at the same time, not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of individuals out there have seen this, have seen that ripple, and seen the much better outcomes, or sometimes the horrible alternatives mm-hmm. to not seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like how you're pointing that out. We all have, you know. I think on some degree, everyone has seen mental health cost and benefit. Now, the Behavioral Health Center, how long has this been a main focus of service expansion at the hospital? You know, we're talking about years ago, upper leadership started kind of cooking this out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any specific time that you can think of? Yeah, same thing. I don't know.
You know, I don't know, you know, an official time frame, Floyd, but I know Mike McCafferty and leadership and board, this has been on their radar for, you know, 20 plus years. And I know recently that, I don't know, just speaking to, you know, when you're talking about stigma, Floyd, just comes to mind with the design of the unit, that having it, we call it kind of a new front door, and making it very visible, you know, right up there on Fifth Street, that this unit is here to take care of the community and to really bring it to the forefront that, you know, we have the right team and the right place to take care of our community. So I just feel like that was really, really we speak to that a lot, especially with donors, because it means so much to know that it's being talked about and we're not, you know, we're taking care of the community rather than, you know, the alternatives, which were, you know, not having the right space and having to, you know, transport patients either elsewhere to a higher level of care, which I know still occurs. But just having that forefront there of the project has been amazing. But I know they've been planning this, I mean, for a long time before I've been at the hospital. But I feel like it's a wonderful project. And, you know, the team also toured so many other different behavioral health units throughout several different states, and you can just tell it's just really well done. We had the Helmsley Charitable Trust come to town for the grand opening, and they do a bunch of rural healthcare philanthropy, and they were so impressed with this unit. And so to hear that from them really meant a lot. And I think was just really impressive to hear their comments on that, because they know they've been, you know, through all sorts of different units and departments. So anyhow, yeah, kind of a ramble there.
I like the ramble. It's good. The idea that, you know, like you said, we're putting it right here, right out front. I think that's fantastic. And as someone who has been, longtime listeners know I'm pretty open about my own struggles. So as someone who has been transported during crisis, it only adds a layer, you know, and to remove that layer, amazing. And I know a lot of people out there might not know where I'm coming from, but there's a lot of people out there who do, and they understand the importance of, you know, hey, either you're going to go to this faraway location or we're going to send you to that faraway location. Either way, you're going to one or the other. And that was the, you know, the alternative that I had, here or there, buddy. And both were locations I didn't want to be at. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be home, especially during a time like that. And so having that here at home, mm-hmm. I think is much more critical than what people may understand on the surface.
Yeah, I think, thank you so much for sharing your story. And, you know, just kind of adding to that a little bit, one of the other disadvantages to not having that local care is then also, where do you go when you come back, right?
Yeah.
So how do I plug in? How do I prevent the crisis? How do I stay healthy? And so, you know, in November of 24, we were able to open our clinic with Dr. Michael Kinney as our psychiatrist and medical director. Today is the first day for Dr. Chris Hellickson, our second psychiatrist that's come to start the unit. And you know, we started this journey and laying, you know, the prep work to be able to make sure that when patients, you know, are able to discharge from their crisis or discharge from inpatient or to prevent, we have that outpatient opportunity. And using the same mentality that we would use for any type of medical needs, right? Like, we have local community resources and it's heavily promoted to prevention, right? And staying connected with your primary care doc. And so same mentality with our mental health. And how do we ensure that there's outpatient opportunities and we're doing our best to prevent that? Or as there's a new recognition of a crisis or a need, how do you plug back in to prevent that from happening again as best as we can? And so, you know, it's really interesting. I hear this, you know, obviously stigma is a national issue around mental health, and we hear this a lot. However, you know, just in that first 18 months, Dr. Kinney's seen over 600 individual patients, right? And so it just primarily from the Sheridan and some Johnson County. And so really recognizing, yes, stigma is always going to be an issue, and having courageous people such as yourself willing to share their story helps promote that it's okay to get help when we're ready. But a lot of that is access. And Wyoming has limited access to psychiatric and mental health care. And so we're really fortunate here in Sheridan to be able to offer that opportunity locally, not just for crisis stabilization, but also that ongoing outpatient mental health care.
And it's fantastic to link everything together. Something that I haven't done the research on this, but I would imagine rarely occurs. Getting my mental health dealt with in the same place that I get my physical health mm-hmm. dealt with. I think that will help aid to bridge that stigma that mm-hmm. we see where, well, mental health isn't health. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it is. A lot of people, you know, in my journey have told me, they said, look, man, are you having a heart attack or are you having a panic attack? Mm-hmm. Because both of them concern us mm-hmm. and we need to address it. And they're both linked together, mm-hmm. okay, because they're your health. And for too long, I think, we as a society, as people, have separated the two. And by having them both in one location, I think it really helps kind of bridge that, where health is health, mm-hmm. panic or heart. Mm-hmm. We're still concerned. We're still going to do what we need to do to get you back on the street and get you healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of building off of Liz's points earlier around the design, our core values when we were making design decisions as a team, and which was a multidisciplinary team and included, you know, architects and our project managers and things like that. Our core values were around respect, dignity, and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we really wanted to make accessing mental health care just part of your healthcare journey as you would in any other part of the system. And so there's opportunity and there was ways we did that really intentionally in terms of design. And so even from, if you're looking at it from the outside, aesthetically, it pulls in from the Welch Cancer Center, right? It looks similar. There's similar design elements. And because we, you know, there shouldn't really be a difference in terms of if I need each of these types of care, there's a location and it shouldn't feel different than the rest of the hospital. And so there was a lot of design elements that went into that. And then also in terms of just being able to really emphasize it, just like every other part of healthcare, it needs to feel warm, it needs to feel respectful, and it needs to be safe and really specially designed for the type of care that's provided in that unit. The same way healthcare does that for emergency rooms and ICUs, transitional care units, those are all done in a way that's in design specialty for the level of care and the type of activities and type of procedures that might be done in that area. And so the opportunity to be able to create that environment is a huge component to that welcoming, warm feeling that we really, our goal is to drive down that level of fear and angst that might come with accessing mental health care, especially in a crisis, by just that design feeling really warm and welcoming.
When you're doing your former job, which is processing folks out of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned you did that for a number of years. While you were doing it, was there ever a point where you're like, boy, I wish we had mental health to help this this guy or this gal?
I mean, I definitely had as my some of my very early experiences, you know, as a case management department was really, I can actually think of one particular case actually where I really stood back and said, well, but every other parts of healthcare, there's another level of care for this patient to access. Where is the level of care for this patient who's experiencing a severe mental health crisis?
Yeah.
And so, you know, working together, you know, I think our medical staff has been really incredible in terms of compassionate care and advocating for the right resources. We have a lot of local stakeholders in, you know, the sheriff's department and police department and judges and judicial systems that have also done the same. And so this isn't, I think the timing of this, and I kind of get chills just talking about it in terms of the timing of this unit is really important in that this isn't just a hospital endeavor. This is a community endeavor where, you know, across stakeholders, we really recognize and support having a solution to it and making it successful. And so I think that's what makes it somewhat of a unique endeavor.
Well, and Sheriff Dominguez,
mm-hmm.
opening up the detention center to mental health treatments.
Sure.
First in Wyoming. You know, he sat back, he really looked at the situation. And he said, this isn't really helping. That's really not working.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try something new.
Yeah.
Let's invite our mental health care folks in here if they need to be. Let's take a different approach and see how it turns out. And so I think that's fantastic because you're right. The timing on this is amazing. Everyone's on board.
Yeah.
And everybody sees the importance of it. Everybody sees the need for it. And everybody wants to be able to take part in it.
Absolutely.
On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with Sheridan Memorial Hospital just after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advice Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Did you know that you save money and help our 4-H and FFA youth by purchasing at your local county fair livestock sale? Hi, this is Chloe Wardell with the 307 Pioneers 4-H Club. If you add up the yearly cost of purchasing meat through the grocery store versus purchasing from the sale, you get a better product, save money, and can contribute to your community. Don't want the whole animal? You can split it with your friends or neighbors. Contact our livestock sale committee and they can help you with your purchase.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Shared Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
Okay, Saturdays in Sheridan just got more useful. Synergy Shop and Minion's open house is every Saturday from 11 to 2 with serious shop space for your RV, boat, trailer, and business. Big doors and high ceilings for lifts or storage. Come walk through, take a look, and see what you can do with it. Donna Garland with Sheridan Realty Associates built and designed these units, and she'll be on site to open every door and answer every question. Synergy Shop Aluminiums on East Rich Road, just past Coca-Cola.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation Director of Philanthropy, Liz Dearcorn, and Director of Behavioral Health, Brittany Goodvin. Now, this morning we're talking about the Behavioral Health Center at the hospital. This is known as PATH. Why the name?
Sure. Well, kind of coming back to your comments around stigma earlier, we really wanted to ensure that we had a name and a reference that could be adopted by the community that promoted the work and the care that we were providing and addressed the issues around stigma and fear. And, earlier on, we talked a lot about the Empath unit. And so Empath is the emergency psychiatric assessment and treatment healing unit, which is part of the delivery model for our crisis stabilization. And so that's a therapeutic milieu with 6 recliners where patients come through either the emergency department or in the future they can present directly to the doors when it's during business hours when it's staffed, and have up to a 24-hour observation of the and a rapid assessment by a provider, mental health provider, therapists, and then supported by nursing staff. And that provides an opportunity to really assess the patient, as opposed to that quick snapshot that happens in the emergency department. And just because the emergency departments across the country, this isn't unique to Sheridan, aren't designed for those longer term opportunities. You know, they have to ensure that the next patient has can have a bed to be evaluated. And so that amount of time just can't be allotted safely in that space. However, offering an observation of a crisis in a crisis stabilization unit using that Empath model allows to 24 hours of observation. And so during that time, a majority of cases, the data suggests up to 75% of inpatient stays can be reduced. So kind of coming back to, like, we knew we were designing an Empath unit using that Empath delivery model. But that wasn't the only type of care that was going to be provided in the center. And so being able to say, okay, you know, how do we bring this in? And also really reference that, mental health is not a one-time event. It's a lifelong journey of seeking that, being stabilized from a mental health perspective. And then it also references there's a lot of, Dr. Kenny references a lot with his patients, their journey and getting on the path. And so we spent a lot of time with as a team, kind of discussing those core values around respect, dignity, and safety, wanting to reduce the stigma, wanting to have a name that could be adopted by the community, wanted it to be something, you know, that even kind of references, you know, we have a lot of trails and paths in the our area, right? And so wanting to be something that could be really adopted and aligned with the philosophy of the unit, and also helped connect back to the original vision around really emphasizing that empath model of care. And so we came up with names and came as a team and throughout the organization. And then we pulled in the community and we asked in some real focused community groups, you know, what do you guys think? Here's a bunch of options. And so it was very intentional. The end result was the PATH Behavioral Health Center. And we're feel like that fits and we're excited to embrace it.
Talking about the nurses, I've had the honor of having a couple nurses in here. And they shared some of their experiences. And some of them are pretty intense. Mm. You know, I think nurses truly are empaths. Mm-hmm. Like they want to help because they can feel that pain. Mm-hmm. How did you select your team?
Sure.
And is that specific? You know, could I be working in the emergency room for a week and then jump on over to behavioral health for a week? Sure. Or is it like, nah, I got my team. They're locked in. They know what's up.
Yeah. Well, I would say a hybrid of that, but a majority of nursing, and I'm not a nurse, but I've had the privilege of working alongside and in partnership on nurses across the hospital and a lot of really great nurses. And what's interesting and fun about nursing is that each department brings its own specialty and skill, and each individual nurse brings kind of her interest or his interest into and the skill that comes with that. And you know, behavioral health nursing brings a different skill set than you would see in other departments around just being able to relate, de-escalate, you know, as opposed to starting IVs and those types of things. And so both skill sets are equally important. But we want to put people in units that best fits their skill set. And so we were really intentional as we interviewed and are building our team. And we really focused on a couple of things. One, staff that could be, you know, a little bit adaptable. We're building something new. And so really mission oriented around the outcome and what we expect to accomplish in that partnership with building things something that's this unique and special to our community. And so we were really intentional around picking team members that could be really motivated behind that mission and what it means for patient care. And so we have a great mix of staff, many internal staff that were, you know, I'm ready to come help build that with you. And then several external who have brought behavioral health experience and crisis stabilization experience. And so we have a really great balance, we feel, moving into building that team.
How long did it take?
That's a great question. So, the reason I say that is, you know, there's a lot of, you know, very early on, the number one piece of skepticism that I was, you know, regularly brought forward to was, great idea, how are you going to staff it? Yeah. And so that was always an ongoing challenge, but that's healthcare. You know, staffing in healthcare across the board, not just Sheridan, it's a national opportunity to really be able to embrace and support our staff. And so, and ensure quality, safe staffing, right? And so that was something going in that we were really mindful of and building those opportunities. So, you know, it started a long time ago with just helping and bringing all of those staff on the journey with us and understanding where we were at, what we were trying to build. And so we actually had a lot of internal staff members and local staff members that were interested. And so I think that there certainly that was an exciting metric to share just because I think there was some skepticism early on in terms of, you know, are people going to want to do that? And so but when we're able to talk about we're doing it different. This isn't your traditional model. We're bringing something that we feel really addresses the gaps in mental health across the country. We're offering a crisis stabilization unit first. we're able to really address this crisis model. And so not every patient, you know, your choices aren't the emergency department and inpatient. We're really able to address that crisis in real time. Our goals around being able to, like, it's not just a discharge and good luck. We're really committed to those warm handoffs and getting patients appropriately connected within the community upon discharge. And we have a really, our medical staff are very involved and really excited in promoting and hands-on around our goals around reducing suicide rates for Sheridan and Johnson County. Like, we're mission-oriented there and we have a lot of staff members and a lot of healthcare workers that are excited to do that, moving from across the country are to be able to join the mission.
That's incredible.
We're very grateful for that.
Touch on those partnerships that you addressed, that the warm handoff, right? You've got the Crisis Stabilization Center. You've got inpatient. We've got outpatient. What if someone says, look, I'm having a crisis. I work with Dr. So-and-so out in the community. Mm-hmm. I usually go see her, him. Mm-hmm. You handle me in a crisis. And maybe it's an intense one. Mm-hmm. I'm in there a couple days. How do you work with the other, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists within the city to say, look, this is the event that took place. We've done what we can. We're giving you your patient. The warm handoff.
Yeah. So that's always done with in partnership and with permission from the patient. So in terms of confidentiality, we're not going to reach out to any external partners without the permission of the patient. But a majority of time, patients are very interested and excited by the opportunity that they have now a care team that can work together. And so, you know, if the patient provides that permission, then we will reach out and have those conversations around how do we best provide a care plan for that patient and how what that looks like going forward. And so that there can be an alignment, a team-based alignment based off those individual care needs and what a safe discharge plan that tees the patient up for success looks like. And so you know, it's another interesting, when I first came and took this role and we were working through preparing the clinic with psychiatric care, and we do have some really great therapists on staff that offer support and care coordination for crisis planning. But there was a lot of, well, are you going to provide therapy in the unit and how is that going to look? And are you going to provide outpatient because there's a shortage of outpatient therapists was the message we were receiving. And you know, what, in terms of the partnerships, what we learned is especially for as small of a community as we are, we're very fortunate for the number of outpatient providers that we have and outpatient therapists. But often what happens is, you know, if you're too anxious and you can't open your mail, and you know, you're running through all of these mental health symptoms, sitting on the phone and calling and waiting for someone to call you back and do you take my insurance and know this person, right? Running through that list of folks can be really challenging. And so that's where things often become difficult in terms of plugging in for outpatient. And so our clinic has a Google sheet with all the outpatient therapists. And if there's any outpatient therapists that are listening and you think you're not on our list, please reach out and we'll get you connected. But that offers, we have a list then of who's taking outpatient therapists, how many openings, what type of insurance, what type of specialty modalities, because some therapists offer different types of therapy than others. And so based off of diagnosis, it can be important to ensure you have the right kind of therapy. And so, you know, with the recommendation of the physician, our team then will help connect patients to outpatient therapy with the right therapist. We know this person takes your insurance. We know they have openings. And so really helping remove those obstacles initially to make patients more successful in getting outpatient treatment for therapy. And that's a huge component in terms of a philosophy of our medical staff and our clinic and our treatment model is that there's the psychiatric component and the where you're seeing the psychiatrist, but equally as important is that therapy component. And so ensuring that patients have the opportunity to receive both is really important to us.
If a doctor is out there listening and they're like, you know, I don't think I'm on that list. What's the contact?
Call the behavioral health clinic and we will get you on the list.
Fantastic. On that, I got to take another quick commercial break. More with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital in just a moment. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stop China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down. And neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
The Ice House Eatery presents Junior Bull Riding and Mutton Busting at the Sheridan County Fair. Saturday, August 1st at 5 p.m. Bull riding entries due by July 27th and mutton busting due by July 29th. For entry information, visit SheridanCountyFairgrounds.com. This event is free to attend, so come and enjoy the Sheridan County Fair all weekend with shows, events, display, and celebrate America's 250th. Sheridan County Fair, Family Fun Weekend, July 31st through August 2nd.
Enjoy your summer in a new GMC pickup, or enjoy the mountain cruise in a new Jeep. Hi, this is Nathan Mullinax, Sheridan Motors, and I'd like to say thanks for supporting us at Sheridan Motors. And remember, there's no need to travel out of town to buy a vehicle. We have everything you need. We can meet or beat any deal in town or out of town. Ram is currently offering a 12% rebate on new half-ton pickups, and GMC is offering employee pricing on half-ton pickups. There's no better time to buy. We're working hard for you, so come see us at Sheridan Motors, your hometown dealer.
What does your dream garage look like? All your tools perfectly organized and stored in a shiny new Carlisle toolbox? Or a whole wall of every Milwaukee power tool you could ever want? How about a car lift? Ooh, a car lift on wheels. You need to check out the Real Deals flyer from Napa. It has everything you could ever want for your dream garage. You're welcome. Stop in the store or view it online. If Napa doesn't have it, they can get it. Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan, making dream garages come true.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're sitting with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation Director of Philanthropy, Liz Dearcorn, and Director of Behavioral Health, Brittany Goodvin. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, as of May 2022, adults in Wyoming who reported experiencing symptoms of anxiety and or depressive disorder, 32% reported needing counseling or therapy, but not receiving it in the past 4 weeks. That's compared to the U.S. average of 28%. Why is expanding, you know, this is just, we're coming back to a fundamental question. Expanding behavioral health care, so important to smaller communities like Sheridan. I mean, we're not a big city. Technically, we're a city, but we're not a big one. Why is this important?
Sure. Do you want me to take that?
Sure.
Okay.
Jump
gonna,
on in.
I was
Brittany.
Like going to toss it to Liz, but yeah. She wants me to take it. I mean, great question, great statistic. I think, opportunity, a statistic, and a metric that offers opportunity and for something for us to evaluate and close the gap on for sure. In terms of alignment, you know, our previous healthcare survey also aligned with Kaiser in terms of recognizing that mental health and substance use were the top two identified gaps in our healthcare system for Sheridan and Johnson County.
And so, that's directly from the residents, right?
Right.
Like the residents of Sheridan and Johnson County said, this is what we need.
And community stakeholders, correct. And so those surveys, you know, so it aligns, right? So it's we're seeing national data and local data that says mental health and substance use are two of the top things that we need to address from a healthcare system perspective. And so, again, you know, tying back to the mission and vision of the hospital to serve and provide local healthcare, our leadership team and our board, in partnership with the foundation, has worked really hard over the last several years to promote and close that gap. And so, you know, in terms of just real specific to the counseling component, you know, the bigger metric that we're closing that gap on is the suicide rates across the state. And what can we do about that locally and part of the community? And so, again, talking a little bit just previously around, you know, not being able to access counseling very specifically, I think what we have seen is not a lack of access, but a lack of connecting to the access or lack of access. Not a lack of access, but an ability to connect with that resource. And so, by having care coordinators and therapists that are really proactive around, we know these are therapists that can provide this need for you and they will take your insurance and will get you connected. It really helps close that gap.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, and being really mindful around like some therapists are a one person shop. So calling them, getting calls back and those types of things, it can be hard. And so having a go-to person and a point person in our clinic that helps just remove that barrier can be really important. And as a driver to, if you are in with and have that resource, how do we ensure that we're working through any mental health issues that then result in a reduction in suicide? So, those are important metrics for us, and we really work to instill processes that close the gap on that.
Brittany, where do we, and you might not know this, I'm asking you something without, preparing you
for
it.
Are you putting me on the spot, sir? Okay.
Where does Wyoming stand right now nationally for suicide? Because we were, number one for, God, it felt like forever, and yes, I understand it's per capita, but that's still a statistic we don't want to be, top of the game up. Yeah. So where do we stand now, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, and again, it can be, you know, I always reference Kaiser as well, but there's other sources out there. I think we're number three right now, but I would, again, you know, double check my work on that.
Yeah.
But I believe we're three. But for the last decade, we're generally in the top five. And so we've made some progress, still usually landing in the top five for the last decade.
We want out of that.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, you brought up the maybe the availability of it is out there, but I don't know how to access it. Mm-hmm. And maybe the issues I have problems with are preventing me from going out and seeking it, finding it. Sure. And I understand there's people out there who aren't going to get that.
Sure.
You know, they're going to say, well, bootstraps, buddy, get out there, get it done. Not everybody can do that.
Sure. Change, you think about all the other things we hope to change in our daily lives that if willpower.
Yeah. And we call it adulting in my house. Are you going to be an adult today?
Yeah,
are we going to get the things done that we need to get done?
Yeah. So just acknowledging sometimes, you know, even with our best efforts, willpower and doing it on our own doesn't always get us there. And so, you know, acknowledging that there's some really great resources and the hospital is not the only, again, back to the partnerships, we recognize we're closing a gap for the, for the community in regards to outpatient psychiatry services, crisis stabilization, and then in the future our inpatient unit. But in terms of local resources that exist in a single county, Sheridan is very fortunate. VOA offers some really great resources. Their outpatient resources are a local partner that we rely on heavily, as well as their subacute crisis facility that we've had a lot of success in helping patients connect with. Residential facilities for a substance use is, you know, not something you can just go to any community and find. It's really unique. And then that, as well as our VA works really hard to partner with us, as well as do a really great job in access, providing access to our veterans as well. So I think just being really aware that it's not just the hospital. We're really fortunate as a community to have other leaders and other agencies that have similar goals and similar missions to serve the community and want to do that together.
I got about a minute and a half left.
Okay.
Is there anything about the center, about behavioral health, that you wouldn't like folks to know?
That we're here to help in whatever. We want to meet you where you're at. And so I think there's can be some fear, and it can be intimidating to show up and say, hey, I am struggling with my mental health in whatever way. And we're here to meet you where you're at and really offer what resources make sense. And then you get to choose how that looks, just like you would in any other healthcare setting. And so we are excited, and our team is very motivated and feeling very hopeful and excited about that opportunity just to meet our patients where they are. And we hope that we have that opportunity to do that with each and every person that needs it.
Hope. It's a hell of a word, isn't it? Ladies, I want to thank you both so much for coming in and visiting with me today. This was an absolute pleasure. Brittany, I think they found the best person to run this place.
Well, I'm genuinely grateful for the opportunity to have visited with you and have Liz here by my side. And
gives that support, yeah, right?
And thank you so much for your encouragement. Yes.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Heard the news. Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides a range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit in a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights. Yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan. Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great. A fighter for us, Wyoming's Frank Chapman. Conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.